Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We're happy to have everyone who is here, our visitors, those joining us on live stream through our Facebook page. We are happy that you have chosen to be with us this morning. As I stated previously, in the last couple weeks, we've chosen this month of September to talk about being a servant. And this has been the theme from the first Sunday in September through now. And this lesson is by request. And kind of the buildup that I was getting to, and we're going to have one more next week, and I'll mention that text a little later on. This morning's lesson is titled, Heart of a Servant, taking our text from Matthew 20, 25 to 28. And I was really happy with the song selections that Matt has led us in singing and the arrangement, the way he arranged it. Little did he know, as he planned to bookend Make Me a Servant, the song that we're going to be singing in a few minutes and that what we started out singing, was that the text is also a bookend. We're going to start with Matthew 20, 25 to 28, and we're going to end with Matthew 20, 25 to 28. So his arrangement couldn't be more perfect, and I'm happy that he chose to do it that way. So, and go ahead and turn over to Matthew 20, 25 to 28. And as you're turning over there, I want to talk about a couple other things as far as being a servant goes. One thing is that saints are servants. We can see this throughout the scriptures, especially throughout the Gospels, as Jesus talks about what he expected of his followers. And we can see it throughout the New Testament epistles, the letters written to saints in various areas. Saints are servants. And in our society today, that is kind of downplayed. Many in our society think of being a servant as wait staff or someone hired to do a specific task. If we were to go back further in our society, the thoughts on what a servant meant would be even less than that. That we would think of a servant as someone that is a hired hand, someone bottom of the totem pole. And people in Jesus' day still had that same kind of problem. Because Jesus calls his people servants. And he expects them to serve God and one another. So, yes, that is the idea that we have. You're not great. You're serving someone else. You're putting them above yourself. So while society looks at that and just can't wrap their minds around that is what we need to do as Christians, that's exactly what Jesus calls his people to do. But I want you to look at just one example of a servant from the past and see that this does not mean weakness. This does not mean someone who was trampled upon. Moses, the man who defied a king, who led a nation out of Egypt, he did all of that, we're told, as a servant of and by the power of God. And yes, the people grumbled against him, but Moses went on their behalf to God. Yes, the people grumbled against him time and time again, but we read that Moses was the most humble or meek man on the face of the earth. Moses didn't answer them. God did it. God said, He is my servant. You listen to him. Moses is identified as the servant of the Lord 16 times just in the book of Joshua alone. Or some variant of it. As I went and I counted just to make sure I had this number right. It's servant of the Lord, or Moses, the servant of God, or Moses, my servant, when God is speaking. But he's listed as a servant of the Lord 16 times. And we read in Hebrews 3 and 5 that Moses was a great man because he was a servant of the Lord and faithful in all the things that God set in his power and authority to do. So there is greatness in being a servant, and that's what Jesus says. And while we have a hard time thinking about a servant being great, as I pointed out earlier, this was not just our thinking. This isn't just our hardness of heart or our hardness of mind trying to wrap our minds around that. Jesus had trouble getting his apostles to see that. He had trouble getting his apostles to understand the nature of the kingdom and even the idea of being great by being a servant. In Mark chapter 10, 35 to 45, James and John come to Jesus and ask to sit on his right hand. In Matthew 20, 20 through 28, we're going to read verses 25 to 28 of that in just a second. We read that their mother was with them, and she's asking this request on their behalf. And Jesus says it's not his to grant, but if they wanted to be great. So he didn't say this is not something you should be asking. He says, well, if you want to be great, You must become servants. You need to serve. Verses 42 to 45, he explained that he himself was not here to be served, but to serve. And we're going to read this in the Matthew account, Matthew chapter 20, in just a second. But I want you to think about that. Jesus says, I didn't come to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. If ever there was a person that walked the earth who deserved to be served, it was the Creator of heaven and earth himself. And yet we read that he took the form of a bondservant. And he says, I didn't come to be waited on hand and foot. Did he deserve it? Absolutely. He says, I came to serve. His answer was for them to serve. In Matthew 20, 26, we're going to read this in just a minute. It says, greatness is in serving one another. In John 13, 2 through 17, and we're going to read verses 14 through 17 of this passage, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But the apostles still didn't get it. Jesus showed them by example, using his own towel to wash their feet. He took on the role of the menial task of a house servant. And Peter saw that, and Peter protested, oh no, Lord, never will you wash my feet. And Jesus told him, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part or portion with me. And Peter said, not only my feet, but my face, my head, and my hands. They had a hard time correlating greatness with being a servant. 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. We're going to spend time on this passage next week, so we're not going to really read this one this morning. We're going to reference it. But in 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26, we're told that we're more than servants. The word here used is bondservant. Some translations just say servants, but the New American Standard correctly translates it as bondservant from the Greek word that means a slave, figurative or literally, bondservant, bondman, or bondslave. So the way that we read this is the slave of the Lord or bondservant of the Lord must be, and then we read through those things of what we're to be. And we're going to look at that in greater detail next week. So that's going to be the theme and the text for next week's lesson. It's from 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. But there are blessings and joy from serving one another. Jesus said in Acts 20 and verse 35, Paul quoting Jesus, Paul says to the elders at Ephesus, he says, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So here Paul is quoting a passage from Jesus or a word from Jesus, and he is saying it's more blessed to give than to receive. So this morning we're going to talk about having the heart of a servant, that we put others first above ourselves. Philippians 2:4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So Paul here in Philippians 2:4 tells us kind of the attitude we're to have as a servant. Put others above you. Now, turn over to Matthew chapter 20. 25 through 28, as we read this account, this is after the James and John and their mother have asked for them to sit at the right hand and left hand side of Jesus when he comes in his kingdom. And this is part of Jesus' response. And I told you in the email, those of you that read the email, I'm looking at you, Richard. Those of you that read the email on Friday, that I sent out on Friday, I said that we're going to do a little exercise. We're going to cross-reference or chain reference, however you want to call it, through your Bibles. And what I failed to mention is I know some of you use a digital product. So if you have a digital app, I don't know about the apps you all use individually. I use Olive Tree. That's something I highly recommend. My family uses it. It does have the feature where you can make notes and you can highlight. So if you have a digital app, you can follow along with us there. But I did ask you to bring pens and pencils and things that you're comfortable writing in your Bible with, and highlighters. I write in my Bible. And for those of you after services that want to see how I have done all of these things as we go through these six passages, I'll be happy to share with you and show you what I've done. But I just wanted to hold these things up. One thing I always have with me are two color highlighters, yellow, and this looks pink, but it's supposed to be red. It's got to be a little pink in color so you can read it. But they're not the liquid ones. You can't tell, but this is kind of more of a pencil. And it does not mark. I mean, it doesn't bleed through and it doesn't ruin the pages. The other thing I carry with me is a multicolored pen that I can use red, blue, even yellow, or straight up black. And I have a green pen that I also carry with me at all times, so I have different colors to use. So that's kind of what we're going to be looking at this morning. So if you don't like to write in your Bible, if you don't want to draw circles or underline, I'm totally fine if you follow along just highlighting. So let's read this text, Matthew 20, 25 to 28. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." One of the things I'd like you to do, if you have the room, and this is again, if you write in your Bible, if not, I hope you brought some note paper. You can write that on a note paper too. At the heading, what I did on the top of mine, or somewhere in the margin, I wrote, "Make me a servant." And as we look at each one of these passages, it's the first thing that I wrote down for this section or this block of passages. Make me a servant. And then what I want you to do is circle servant, slave, served, and serve. So in this passage, we read four things that relate to what Jesus tells his apostles to do if they want to be great. He says they must be a servant, they must be a slave, they must serve, and they must serve. So this is Jesus' response to two of his apostles and their mother asking for greatness in the coming kingdom. Jesus says, you want to be great? You be a servant. And if you don't like drawing circles, I actually did this in my Bible. You can actually just use a highlighter and use it. I kind of color-coded it, and I'm kind of sharing with you my color code. I use blue for this part and the next part. We're going to do some underlining, and I'm going to use green. Jesus left heaven at the right hand of God to come down to earth to serve. And what I wrote in the margin is, how did Jesus serve? Or you can ask the question, what did that involve? What was involved in Jesus serving? And so underline Son of Man, that's who we're talking about, this is Jesus. And then underline, give his life. That's how Jesus served. I appreciated Brother Tony's talk at the Lord's table as he walked us through what Jesus underwent at his trial. The pain, the suffering, the agony, the absolute torture, and finally the giving of his body, his blood, and his life. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and give his life as ransom for many. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life. That's what Jesus came to do. And then in the margin next to those verses, I know this might be a lot to write in. I used red for this part. But desires that keep us from serving. Write in the margin somewhere if it'll fit, if you have room. Write in desires that keep us from serving. Or maybe make it personal. Desires that might keep me from serving. And then underline, I say a squiggly underline. I couldn't really find that, so I used the next best thing. But I used red for this part. Whoever wishes to become great and wishes to be first. These are the things I want you to underline under the heading of wishes, of desires that keep us from serving. And if you have room, I was actually able to kind of fit it in there. Under those desires that keep us from serving, I wrote in ambitions and selfishness. You could write in pride if ambitions won't fit. Put in pride and selfishness, because that's what this is. They were wishing to be great. They wished to be first. This came out of either their ambition or their pride. And Jesus says, you have to set that aside. You can't have that in my kingdom. So these are desires that will keep us from serving the way Jesus wants us to serve. Whoever wishes to become great, whoever wishes to be first. But Jesus did address those things, didn't he? He says, you want to be first? You want to be great? Serve. Become a slave to your brothers. At the very end of Matthew 20, verse 28, if you can fit it in there, write in, if it's not already cross-referenced. Now, what I do lots of times, if my Bible already has the cross-reference of what I'm looking for, I highlight it. So if it's already written in there, or you have room to write it, write in Matthew 25, 34 to 40. And then be prepared to turn over there to that passage. That's where we're going next. Matthew 25, 34 to 40. So after you've written that in the margin somewhere, Matthew 25, 34 to 40, go ahead and turn over to Matthew 25, 34 to 40. It's one of our, perhaps the longest text we're going to read this morning. But backing up to verse 31, this is where Jesus talks about that end day, where he says he's going to gather the nations, the small and the great, before the great king. So he is that great king, make no mistake. And he's going to gather the nations, the small and the great. And he's going to separate them out like a shepherd would. He's going to separate them sheep to the right and goats to the left. And then in verse 34, he's going to start talking to the sheep, to the righteous. So it says in verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" Right over the top, somewhere in the margin, "Make me a servant." And then draw a circle around, "Inherit the kingdom." That's what's under discussion here. He says, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom." And then maybe if you have it in the margin somewhere, I was able to write this in, and I made a mistake. So if you look at my Bible at the end, I'll show it to you. I made a mistake. I used blue, so I underlined it in green, so then it would match the other underlines. But because I asked, who will inherit? What's under the topic here is inheriting the kingdom. That's what's important. That's what we want. That's the goal of the servants who are standing there before this great king who has gathered all the people of earth together. So who will inherit? And then using whatever color code that you want to use, I'm using green, underline, "You gave me something to eat. You gave me something to drink. You invited me in. You clothed me. You visited me. And you came to me." Then after you underline those things that Jesus says, I want you to just think on that for just a moment. These are not great and mighty deeds of feet. These are not feats of strength. These are not great and mighty deeds that people are going to look at you and say, "Wow, that was awesome. That was incredible. Surely God has favor on you." These are everyday tasks. These are everyday things that we can do for one another. That's what I want you to think about as you underline these things. "You gave me something to eat. You gave me something to drink. You invited me in." This is hospitality. "You showed me hospitality. You clothed me. You visited me. You came to me. When I was sick, when I was in my darkest hour, when I was in prison, you were there." That's all Jesus is asking us to do for each other. To be there for one another. Even on that great and awesome day, Jesus' followers are going to ask him, "When? When did we do these things to you? When did we do these things for you?" So write in the margin if you want to, "When? When did we do this? How on earth are people 2,000 years later?" Because he's talking about a future event. How in the world 2,000 years later are we going to be able to say, "When did we see Jesus in that position and do that?" And then underline using that same color that you chose to write in, "When." I want you to underline, "You did it to one of these brothers of mine." And then underline or highlight, "You did it to me." Serving one another is serving Jesus Christ, our King. I want you to get that. As you underline these phrases, I want you to understand that. That's why he says, you want to be great? You be a servant. Because as we serve one another, we're serving the King, the Creator of heaven and earth, who we get to call brother, and whose Father we get to call Father. That's the kind of servant he's asked us to be. But look at what he said. Give someone something to eat when they need it. Give them the drink when they need it. Invite them in. Take care of their physical needs. Visit them in their hour of want. At the end of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, right in the margin there, Mark 9, 33 through 35. If it's already there, just highlight it if it won't fit. But the reason I'm telling you to write it in if you can, even if it's in the cross margin, is so that you remember it. The more active you are in tracing down these scriptures, the more you're going to remember them. That's why it's great. Those cross references are great in a Bible study when you can quickly turn to them and find something you're looking for. But as you're doing your own Bible study, the more you write in and the more you write it down, the more you're going to remember. The more it's going to stick in your mind. And then turn over to that passage. Mark chapter 9, 33 through 35. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 33. This is right on the heels as he's told his disciples what's going to happen when he gets into Jerusalem. He tells them he's going to be delivered into the hands of men, they'll kill him. And after he's been killed, he's going to rise again 3 days later. And it says that they didn't understand this and they were afraid to ask. So we come to verse 33 and it says, they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he began to question them. What were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had discussed with one another which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Now, we referenced Mark chapter 10 and we read the Matthew 20 passage. That happens after this. So they're discussing among themselves who's going to be greatest. And then you get in just a little bit later and James and John get their mother involved and they go ask Jesus to be the greatest. It's like they wanted to solve the problem of whatever this discussion was. Whatever they were arguing about, whatever they were debating, they get their mother involved and they're like, we're going to settle this once and for all. We're going to be the greatest. But here at this outset, Jesus says, what are you discussing? And they didn't want to say, because they were discussing with one another how they could be the greatest. So again, under Mark 9, 33 through 35, write in, make me a servant. And then draw a circle around servant. And to notice, Jesus defines true greatness. If you have room to write that in, you can write in that whole phrase or try to find a way to summarize it if your margins are smaller. I was able to write in, Jesus defines true greatness. And once you've written that in, using the same color that you've used, or if you can match the color with a highlighter, or underline the phrases, last of all and servant of all. Jesus defines true greatness. He says, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. So again, part of their discussion is, how are we going to be great in this coming kingdom? Jesus says, you're going to be last and you've got to be the servant of all. That's what you do if you want to be first. That's what you do if you want to be great. And then, if you can, just like in the last passage we were looking at, or one of the last ones we looked at, if you can write in desires that keep us from serving and squiggly underline which of them was the greatest. Because here it comes again. Pride, ambitions, selfishness, trying to get ahead. What can I do to get over somebody? Jesus says it doesn't belong in his kingdom. He says you want to be first, you want to be great, you need to be last, you need to be a servant of all. At the end of Mark 9:35, after we've done all of this, write in the margin John 13, 14 to 17. And again, if there's not room, I understand, but if it's already cross-referenced, highlight it or underline it, whatever you're using. And then turn over to that passage. So we're going to write in the margin here, John 13, 14 through 17. And I'm showing you my shorthand here. I just try to use as little as passages as possible or little letters as possible because I know that sometimes the margins are small. So I'm using just JN and then 13, 14 through 17. And then turn over to that passage. And this is the passage I told you we were going to read later on in John 13. We're going to just pick up with this account in verse 14 through 17. This is Jesus after he has washed their feet, starting in verse 5. We get to verse 13 because he asked them in verse 12, he says, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." And then we're going to pick up the text here in verse 14. "If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Under this heading or over the top, somewhere in the margin, write in, "Make me a servant." That way, as you are following this thread, you'll see that phrase, "Make me a servant," and you know that this was part of that exercise of what it meant to be a servant. You're tracking down these passages that are telling us what our heart needs to have in it. "Make me a servant," and write it, and then ask the question, why? I use blue again as the topical heading here under "Make me a servant." Why? Why did Jesus, the Lord and King, the Creator of all things, why was he willing to do the most menial, if not demeaning task, the task of the lowly house servant? Why was he willing to do that? If there's room, try to write it in the margin next to John 13, 14. Why? Why did Jesus do that? And encircle, "For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you." This is something big to circle, and you can see how on my computer it kind of cut off some of the words, so don't do what I did. Be able to try to encircle it or use a highlighter, however you want to do it. But just as the apostle recounts of Jesus in Acts 20, verse 35, "It's more blessed to give than to receive," here Jesus says blessings come from serving. He says, "You're blessed if you do them." Underline the phrase, "You're blessed if you do them." So Jesus is saying it's not the act of the foot washing. A lot of people focus on that. That wasn't it. The example he left was that there's no task too small, too menial, too demeaning for you to do for someone else. That's what he said. You as the servant, you're not too big. You're not too great to say that's beneath me. Jesus said, "I washed your feet. You do that for each other." It's not just the act of the feet washing. I want us to understand that. A lot of people get hung up on that. He says, "I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. You do for someone else whatever it is that they need. No job is too small. No job is too big. You are their servant." He says, "You want to be great in the kingdom, you be a slave and a servant to all." And he says, "You're blessed if you do them." At the end here in verse 17, write in somewhere, Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. And then be prepared to turn over to that passage. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. I'll give you just a second. I'll say it again. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. I know I see a lot of people diligently writing it down or taking notes. And then turn over to Philippians 2, 5 to 8. And we talked about Philippians 4. I read it to you earlier. Philippians 2, 4 says, "Not just look out for your own self, but for others." And in here in verse 5, as if he's adding to that, how do I look out for others and not just myself? He says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." circle, after make sure to write down, make me a servant. This is where tracking that line of thinking down. Make me a servant somewhere in the heading here of Philippians 2, 5 to 8. And then circle, have this attitude and bondservant. Have this attitude and bondservant. What attitude are you circling? That of a bondservant. Saints are bondservants of the Lord. We're to be able to teach and save the lost. That's the theme of 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26, and our title and text for next week. It's simply going to be titled, Bondservants of the Lord. And we're going to talk about what that means for us in three different ways from that text next week. But then servanthood begins with the right mindset. Remember at the beginning of the month, we talked about the spirit of competition and that how sometimes we get in the trap of comparing ourselves to other people. If you are constantly comparing yourself to others or seeking ways you can always be the greatest or the first, you're going to find it hard to serve others. You're going to have a hardship. You're going to have a mental block, something that you have to overcome in order to serve others. So if you struggle with a resistant heart, think of Jesus and remember how he did it. And if you can fit it in the margin, write how Jesus served. Or remember how Jesus served. I just wrote how Jesus served and then underline emptied himself, humbled himself, and obedient. Remember how Jesus served, emptied himself. The song that we sang. He emptied himself of all but love. I believe it was the song we sang right before the Lord's Supper. And can it be? He emptied himself of all but love. He humbled himself and was obedient. And that's what he asks of us. At the end of Philippians 2:8, write in somewhere Galatians 5:13 and turn to that passage of Scripture. Galatians 5:13. Have this attitude, the example of Jesus. How do we make ourselves a servant? By following that example. Have this attitude or this mind in us to be a bond servant. And what he did was he emptied himself, he humbled himself, and he was obedient. So Philippians 2, 5 to 8 is in that track of making me a servant. And I want you to turn over to Galatians 5:13 after you've written it down somewhere at the end of verse 8. Galatians 5:13, write in, make me a servant, and read with me, for you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Paul is in the middle of a discussion on the old law and how it doesn't justify anyone anymore. And he talks about the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And remember in James 1:25, it's called the law of liberty. Note, there is a contrast in this verse. And if you have the room to write it in, you can. If not, don't worry about it. But I was able to write it in. I had to kind of do it sideways like this. Galatians 5:1, earlier in this passage, he says we're free in Christ, but here he says that freedom means we're to serve. So there's kind of a contrast. Free in Christ, but he asks saints to serve. So circle, serve. And what's interesting about this word serve in our textual study this morning is this passage is a Greek word that means to be enslaved, to be in bondage. So if you can write it in the margin somewhere on this passage, write to be enslaved, so that that circled word serve tells you what that really means. To be enslaved, to be in bondage, to who? One another. We're to serve one another. And then you might ask, maybe you write this in the margin, what is our motivation? What is our motivation for such service? What motivated us to take on that role of a servant, no matter what it is, for one another? Galatians 5:13 gives us that motivation. And I was able to write that in green. I also did it sideways in my Bible. And I was able to write to be enslaved and then underline through love. What is our motivation? Love. Love for one another, love for God, love for Jesus. Love is our motivation. Jesus said his followers must love one another as Jesus loved us. He loved us sacrificially and lovingly. That comes from the word that agape love, Strong's 26, in the Greek dictionary. If you wanted to write down the Greek word for those note takers, what serve is, it's the Strong's 1398. It's of the root word doulos or doulio, that means to be enslaved or to be in bondage. So love that puts one another's best interest above our own is that agape love, and that's the love Jesus says we're to have for one another and love one another as he loved us. Same word, he put us ahead of his own. And at the end of Galatians 5:13, right in there somewhere, Hebrews 6:10. This is our last scripture that we're chasing down. Hebrews 6:10, and then turn over to that passage of scripture. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And read it with me. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, and having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Right in there, make me a servant. Circle ministered and ministering, and maybe even write in there if you can to serve. Ministered and ministering are words that are used as the verb of serving. So to serve means they were ministering to them. Again, we ask ourselves, what is the motivation? And if you can write it in there, go ahead and do so. What is my motivation for doing this? The love which you have shown toward his name. That should spark a memory just this morning of what we've looked at. The love which you have shown toward his name. Remember Matthew 25:40? If you can, write that in using the same color because it has everything to do with our motivation. Remember Matthew 25:40? After the righteous asked Jesus, when did we see you in need? When did we see that need? When did we fulfill that? Jesus says, truly I say to you, to the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So write in Matthew 25, verse 40. The love which you have shown toward his name. We show that love toward his name when we serve one another. Because we, remember, through our serving, we show love to our Savior and our King. And now we come full circle in this cross-reference. Write in this reference, Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Matthew 20, 25 to 28, so that we can keep in mind that to minister to the saints, to serve the saints, we must get over our desires and our pride and whatever it is that keeps us from serving, that we might have the heart of a servant to know what true greatness is as defined by Jesus. And if you can, write it in Matthew 20, 25 to 28, and turn back there with me. Just as we sang, make me a servant, and we're going to sing it again, we read Matthew 20, 25 to 28, and we want to close on Matthew 20, 25 to 28. And hopefully as you turn it back, you see your notes from earlier, the heading that says, make me a servant. And so we already know what the context here is. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you, you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Saints are servants. If we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to follow in his footsteps, we're going to be servants. Jesus taught his apostles that to be great, one must serve. And there is greatness in being a bondservant of the Lord. For if we remain faithful until death and overcome the trials of life, we will spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. That is the promise that Jesus has made. And he has said, as I have done to you, you do to one another. Serving others is how we show God that we love him. And that's why it's so important we put on the heart of a servant. This morning, if you're here and not a Christian, you need to become one, that you might put on that name Christian, rising from the waters of baptism, no longer living for the desires and the ambitions that make you want to be first in life, first above everyone else, that you take on that role, that heart of a servant, knowing there is a great reward. And this morning, if you are a Christian who hasn't been living the way that you should, maybe you're here this morning, you haven't been serving as you should. Now's the time to make that correction and make it right. Seek the forgiveness of your brethren. Seek the forgiveness of God, knowing that he is willing to forgive you in open arms, and that we too are willing to forgive you with open arms. And if we can assist you in anything this morning, the waters of baptism or the prayers of the congregation on your behalf, we come forward now. Let it be known while together we stand and sing.